1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The FAA has lifted a nationwide ground stop after a computer glitch caused major disruptions at airports this morning. CBS's Chris Van Cleve talked to some travelers caught up in the chaos in D.C.
What do you think?
I'm a little annoyed.
Cruise to catch at 6 p.m.
So you got to get there today.
Yes.
So how much cushion do you have to get to your cruise?
Probably an hour, maybe.
How nervous are you guys?
A little nervous.
We're staying positive. We'll make it.
We're going to be optimistic, but, you know.
More than 1,000 flights were canceled today, nearly 8,000 delayed. President Biden has asked the Department of Transportation to investigate what happened. Southern California is recovering from widespread storm damage today. KCBS reporter Leslie Marin is in L.A.
Crews working around the clock to secure this growing sinkhole in Chatsworth. Councilman John Lee represents this area. You can see part of the sewage line that officials believe burst, but we could only make out one of two cars that remain inside. The other sinking so deep into the earth, we couldn't see it anymore.
It's a true miracle that they're not more injured.
Four people were in those cars when the ground gave way Monday night.
At least 17 people died, and it's not over. Forecasters say another round of heavy rain set to hit the central and northern part of the state soon. Freshman Congressman George Santos refuses to resign, despite lying to voters to get elected to the House.
Will you step down?
I will not. Guys, we're
guys. A short time before that response, Nassau County Republicans called for Santos to step down. Alabama's top prosecutors are now warning women who use abortion pills.
Alabama's near-total abortion ban exempts women receiving the procedure from liability. But Attorney General Steve Marshall says women can still face consequences under the state's Chemical Endangerment of a Child Law, which was first passed to protect children from meth lab fumes. This after the FDA changed its rules, and now retail pharmacies can dispense abortion pills directly to consumers in states where the procedure is legal. Allison Keyes, CBS News.
Students at the University of Idaho head back to class today for spring semester, just 2 months after four students were murdered near campus. CBS's Lilia Luciano is there.
Madeline Pollock are still on edge.
I'm very paranoid, so I kept a lot of my safety still up.
18-year-old twins Owen and Olivia West say the crime transformed campus life.
I had never, originally walked with, a knife or, my keys between my fingers before.
28-year-old Brian Koberger has been charged with the killings. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tease at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Three new chaplains were sworn in for the Wood County Sheriff's Department and Dispatch Center. Pastor Tim Ritter, Pastor Stacy Remus, and Liz Goss. Veteran chaplain Pastor David Bratley accepted the role of lead chaplain and was also sworn in. Police chaplains provide emotional, moral, and spiritual support to officers, staff, and their families. The Wood County Sheriff's Department welcomes their three new chaplains and congratulates Pastor Bratley with his promotion. Chief Deputy Quentin Ellis was sworn in as Undersheriff of the Department for Sheriff Becker's next term. Undersheriff Ellis began his law enforcement career in Wood County in 1999 and has served in many capacities within the county. He was promoted to Chief Deputy in January of 2021. Ellis is a lifelong resident of Wood County and graduated from Lincoln High School. He's known affectionately within the department as Q, and his fellow officers congratulated him on his new leadership role. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Highs level off around 36 this afternoon under cloudy skies, northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. 28 tonight, overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 34. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Friday with daytime highs approaching 27. 31 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Whoa, we're gonna have company!
Brian, bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. On a Wednesday afternoon, you're listening to the program across Civic Media here in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's near west side on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, WTTN, 1580 AM. You're also listening in the Shaw. That's Waukesha, Wisconsin, on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh. Locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. Lake Air in Amory. And radio from the center in Richland Center. If you want to join the show, share a tangent with me on this Wednesday afternoon, 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number. Got Evan on the production board. Thank you, Evan. And we're joined on this Wednesday afternoon by the one, the only. It's a Wednesday with William Walter. How you doing, Will?
What is up, party people? I am great. I'm here. And of course, it goes without saying that it is a lovely Wednesday afternoon because I am here.
Yeah, it's a pretty warm day here. Hitting the 40s, potentially, even, I believe. I haven't looked at the thermometer in a little bit, but
it was almost 50 at my place yesterday.
Look at that lake effect that you were taking credit for.
What lake effect? I have no idea exactly. What you're talking about.
Exactly. But glad to have you with me here on the airwaves this Wednesday afternoon, Will. And glad we get to catch up, talk some of the headlines since the last time we had you on the show, and get your perspective and share some tangents with what's going on in your neck of the woods. Earlier this week, there was a Wisconsin Supreme Court forum for the four candidates running to replace outgoing Pat Rogensack, Justice Pat Rogensack, not seeking another 10-year term to the state's highest court, and WisPolitics held a forum for the four candidates vying to replace her. And you were there, Will. You were at the forum. What were your thoughts and kind of takeaways from that event?
Well, first of all, I stood out, to put it mildly, because I was there in jeans and a T-shirt, and the vast majority of the lawyers and affiliated media, you know, everybody's dressed to impress. Lawyers are not exactly known for dressing down in any situation applicable. But turnout was pretty good. I mean, there was a lot of people there, a lot of interested parties there. I was a little disappointed in the sense that a number of the candidates, you can guess which two in particular, avoided many of the direct questions that was asked. I mean, Jennifer Doro just read out of a binder for quite literally every answer she had. I'll at least give props to Dan Kelly that he had his talking points memorized.
So you're saying the Federalist Society kind of just typed up some memos for her, and you think that's what she was reading from, or just she needed the script to refer to?
A little bit of both, likely. I mean, part of public speaking, especially when you want to be real, when you want to come across as an individual who knows what they're talking about, is being present. You're glancing around the audience. You're having a conversation with them more than just talking down to them. And she was, you know, it's hard to see unless you're watching us on Facebook, but glancing down.
We are live right now on the Devil Radio 92.7 FM Facebook page. So if you want to live stream the show, you can get the visual that Will is providing there of the up and down glances. But we'll also describe it to you for those folks listening on the standard format of radio, or maybe a little bit later from this afternoon on the podcast version of the show.
And just wanted to give a shout out to the visual learners in case they needed a direct example. But you can check out the forum itself on WisPolitics website, I believe. I rewatched it actually a few days ago just to make sure that what I heard live was what was presented, and I wasn't, you know, kind of hitting it with my own biases, because bias was something that came up throughout the forum from all four candidates. A number of questions were based on, are you able to keep your personal opinions at the door when you're sitting on the bench? Judicial matters should not be decided based on your personal opinions. And I have to say, surprisingly, of course, that Everett and Janet were the only two candidates on the dais that really answered questions posed to them from a judicial perspective. Dan Kelly is a pretty strict constitutionalist, and again, I'll give him props that he stuck to his guns. Every answer he had was, does the Constitution say we should do it? If so, yes, our job is not to legislate. Our job is to, interpret the laws. Judicate. But yeah. To me, it's a real chicken or egg situation, especially when rigged maps came up, and Janet and Everett, Janet now answered first in this question, so she was able to be a little more forceful with it, said, yes, the maps are rigged, and rigged maps have this effect on us. Everett made an excellent point that particularly communities of color have been disenfranchised by these maps time and time and time again. And as a member of a minority community, he has witnessed how that can impact the lives of an average Wisconsin voter, how you're less likely to get involved in the system if you know that the system is purposely trying to keep your voice down. And so for me, it really is a chicken or egg situation, in the sense that while you don't want Supreme Court justices legislating based on their personal belief, maps that are inherently rigged, where the representatives are able to choose their voters rather than the voters choosing the representative, cannot allow for the legislative side of things to accurately reflect the will of the Wisconsin voters.
Yeah, and Brian learned yesterday on the show that Dan Kelly's one to wear a cape. Any chance that you can provide an update of whether or not former Justice Dan Kelly was wearing a cape on Monday? I know you were.
Did not have a cape on. He did not have a cape. I was in like the sixth or seventh row, so I had a pretty good view. I think I would have noticed if he had a cape. He did not.
Okay.
He
took it off backstage, potentially, if he was wearing
it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was an outdoor.
Oh, and then it was threw it back on so that he could, you know, Naruto run out of the arena on his way out. But there was a bit of a fun moment towards the end where the question was posed, which founding father is your favorite? And I'm not one to sit and giggle at those type of questions, because that doesn't mean anything to me. I want something pertinent to what we're discussing. But Kelly had the first answer. Oh, my little Albert is barking in the background.
It's all good. We know how it is sometimes.
And so Dan answered Alexander Hamilton, and Everett was like, come on, man, immediately, because that was the answer that he wanted to have. And I couldn't help but think that I don't know if Dan's just a fan of musicals or if he was going to come out there and start rapping like Hakeem Jeffries. But a lot of the forum concept didn't allow. It's not a debate, right?
Right.
You're not allowed to.
You're asking a question. You don't get a whole lot of interaction between the different candidates. You kind of, or you pose the question, you're expected to answer it, and it moves on to the next candidate, and they get
and
to
you move on.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I really hope that they're able to get some kind of organized debate that all four candidates show up to, because as of right now, there is no event that is slated to have all four. There are a couple events with, you know, one, two, three of them, but nothing where all four have agreed to be on the stage together at the same time. And boy, I would love to see a debate to allow them the opportunity to kind of go back at each other for some of the more outlandish responses that they had.
Yeah, hopefully there's something in the works, but less than 6 weeks away now for that primary that will decide which two of those four candidates will go on to face off in this spring general election on April 4th later this year. And that's really great insight, Will. I really appreciate you being able to share your firsthand account from the event on Monday. It's going to be an interesting race to see where these... Because again, it's split kind of evenly with the two candidates from each side of the ideological spectrum for the way the judicial candidates get judged. It's a nonpartisan race, but effectively there are two liberal or Democratic leaning candidates, and there's two conservative or Republican leaning candidates, and a lot is riding on this race. The ideological makeup of the race will be determined with who replaces outgoing Justice Rogensack in April.
Who gave an endorsement immediately following the forum, by the way.
Yeah, she endorsed Waukesha Judge Jennifer Doro, and find it pretty interesting. She actually spent, 3-4 years on the bench with Dan Kelly, and that time as colleagues, Rogensack said, we're going to go with the other conservative choice in the race.
He comes off as so smug. I don't like to take personal shots on people. I like to base it on
their body of work,
substance that they provide. But and again, it goes back to what I mentioned at the beginning, that I personally love the fact that he had his talking points memorized, because it comes off as more professional. But I can see as well how someone would see someone just kind of leaning back, tapping the counter, giving their tidbits here and there, how that would come off as a little smug or something along those lines. Now, you mentioned obviously the importance of the race. Something that I want to point out is the amount of money in these campaigns already, and the vast, vast difference between the four candidates. There was a JS Online article from Corey Hess a few days ago discussing the Monday forum, and it mentions, I want to try to get the raw numbers for you here.
It's a lot of money, is it already? Like,
a lot of money, but it's very focused on one candidate. Doesn't go across all alleys. So right now, Doro has not, obviously she has raised money, but she has not reported any campaign cash, as she only entered the race in November. So we don't know what her treasury may look like, but Dan Kelly, who entered the race last September, has $16,500 in his campaign account. Judge Everett Mitchell, who declared his candidacy last June, has $27,700. And Judge Janet Protasiewicz has $920,000.
Now, that's to say for the individual campaign accounts. Wow. There's going to be a lot of outside spending, too, and our friends over at Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, friend of the show, Matt Rothschild, is already saying that this may be the highest outside spending race that we'll see for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, chance to set records there. So outside spending, along with the candidate spending, is going to be off the charts, it's anticipated, this cycle. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents, joined by William Walter on this Wednesday afternoon. If you want to join the show, share a tangent, 844-967-2789.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, we're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere, so the police should be reaching out to this community, and this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope, to give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
On this Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. I'm Luke Mathers. You can join us as well. Share a tangent, 844-967-2789. You're listening across the state of Wisconsin on wherever your closest Civic Media radio station is to you. If you want to learn more about the Civic Media Radio Network, check out the website, civicmedia.us. And this is going to be a record-setting year. 2023 is going to be a lot of fun with Civic Media, and we're kicking off the year with some exciting news. So the network is still growing, but our network of radio stations is doing something big to celebrate the start of 2023 with $1 million advertising giveaway. You're going to want to save the date, folks. If you are a small business owner or you work with small businesses, you're going to want to learn more about Thursday, January 26th, you'll be able to fill out an application for a piece of our giveaway and your chance to work with the Civic Media sales team to create radio advertising campaign promoting your business across the network for free. The $1 million advertising giveaway starts at 9 a.m. only on Thursday, January 26th. To find out more, you can check out the social media accounts for Civic Media on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you're going to want to make sure, 9 a.m. on Thursday, January 26th, to head over to civicmedia.us/million, where you will be able to sign up to learn more and enter yourself in for a piece of the $1 million advertising giveaway we're doing across Civic Media. It's really exciting, Will. I'm looking forward to this. We are still in a growing phase, but we're excited to let the state of Wisconsin learn more. If you are going to sign up at the website to learn more and qualify for a portion of the $1 million advertising giveaway, make sure you let them know the Dueling Tangents sent you. You can click the link there, Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. That will let everybody here at the network know that you heard about the giveaway during this fine program, which you can check every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. But Will, we've got some other.
You sent me on a roller coaster there, Luke. You were like, oh, it's going to be a big 2023. I'm excited. I'm like, hold up. Like, are you living in the same United States that I am? And then you were like, for Civic Media. And I was like, oh, okay, you got me back. I agree.
No, it's a fascinating time right now with what we're doing with this network, Will. And you're a part of it by joining us here on the airwaves. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your Wednesday afternoon.
So important to have people like Dueling Tangents and Civic Media to be able to really give information to Wisconsinites and the American public that you're not going to hear from the billionaire class of the, you know, quote unquote mainstream media.
Yeah, that liberal leaning mainstream media that kind of takes more of a corporatist view of things rather than, say, a traditionally you know, progressive-minded focus on these news stories. And one of the things that I know that you're pretty fired up about, and that is back for the first time in almost 100 years, not quite 100 years, but there is a socialist caucus in the Wisconsin legislature for the first time since the 1930s. What are your thoughts on this? We've got some socialism back here from the state representatives for the Milwaukee area.
Well, Wisconsin and Milwaukee in particular has a rich, rich history of socialism. Multiple socialist mayors in the 20th century, three total, I believe. And like you mentioned, the sewer socialist movement. Now, Darren Madison and Ryan Clancy will be in the state assembly. And
they got
sworn
in last week. They're in it.
They're in it. Yeah, that's true. We're not the U.S. House. We were able to get everybody sworn in on time efficiently. You know, jumping off of the judicial tangent, letting your biases get in the way. I know both of these individuals personally, and I could not be more proud of the two human beings that will be stepping into the assembly now. There are so many politicians who are career reps. They're career politicians whose only goal is to rubber stamp whatever they're told by their bosses and higher ups in their party, and then hopefully move on to the next more important office. And these are two people who really put their money where their mouth is. They are out on the streets with people, you know, with the protests over in 2020 when the George Floyd protests came up, for example. I ran into Ryan and Darren at every single event I was down in at the city. And I know for a fact that they were at every event every day because they were covering it on social media, posting, this is what we're seeing here. This is why I'm here. This is why it's important. They do such a good job of kind of elaborating on the importance of community solidarity and why these events, why it matters that they're at these events, so that people who feel that this is an important issue, that feel like the system have kind of abandoned them or left them for dead or don't care about whatever XYZ problem that I'm facing in my life. Well, now you have two elected officials who do care. And they not only do they care, but they care enough to be there with you and stand there in solidarity telling you, hey, I agree this is important and I'm going to fight for you. Darren had an excellent quote in the Nation article by John Nichols the other day. Front and center, right off the bat, we wanted to make sure that we were uplifting bolder ideas and solutions. That's something the Democratic Socialists have always done in Wisconsin, and they have. I think Democratic Socialism in particular gets a bad rap because of the boogie word, right? Socialism. It's a scare tactic word tossed around on right-wing media and some of the more corporate left-leaning media that essentially tricks people into thinking, oh, they're going to come and take what we've worked hard for and redistribute it, when that's not at all what a lot of these elected officials and supporters agree.
It's making sure the government provides programs that are available to all, and making sure
strong social safety net. Yes. Exactly.
And it's going to be very interesting to see. And sewer socialism, you know, kind of that tongue in cheek, like it's supposed to be fun. But the city of Milwaukee was thriving under those mayors. Like the fact that we have the public lands that we have in Milwaukee, the Summerfest grounds being there, like all of the different aspects of it. Good things for the city of Milwaukee, and it's very fun. Like you said, there's an entire piece written up about socialism returning to the state legislature, written up by John Nichols over at The Nation magazine. Check it out if you haven't had a chance yet. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. William Walter joining me, Luke Mathers, on this Wednesday afternoon. We're going to continue jumping to the headlines, but plenty of time for your phone calls. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. You can also follow the show at Dueling Tangents on Twitter. You can follow Civic Media there as well, at Civic Media US. Got a couple more segments coming up in the day. We'll be right back.
The Shaw 101 FM, your
place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Snuggle up to a new friend this cold season. There's someone waiting just for you. This week's Pet of the Week is brought to you by Bow Wow Meow Boutique and the Southwood County Humane Society. Bow Wow Meow offers your furry friend made in the USA treats, chews, toys, collars, and more. You can shop with your dog or even your crazy cat lady friend. Your pet will say wow when you shop at locally owned Bow Wow Meow. 231 Lincoln Street, Wisconsin Rapids. Adopt then shop. Bow Wow Meow Boutique.
Pride.
Left corner, three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Is the cost of college weighing you down? Don't worry. There is a ton of untapped federal financial aid available right now. The University of Wisconsin system has financial aid experts across the state waiting to help you finish the FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid. Go to wisconsin.edu for more information, and FAFSA will show you the money, but only if you fill it out. Sponsored by the University of Wisconsin system.
One day it's bone-chilling cold. The next, the sun is shining. Hey, it's Wisconsin. Don't like the weather? Wait 10 minutes. It'll change. Sooner or later, the snow will go away. But right now, it's freezing cold. And all that cold weather can cause freeze-ups in your holding tank or septic pipe system. So be sure that you keep an eye out for trouble. And call Crockett Septic to help you if you encounter a jam. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where the trucks smell like sweet cherry pie.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Focus Neighborhood Meals are back to in-person service. Every Thursday from 4:30 to 6 p.m., the local nonprofit serves free meals to Southwood County residents. They are set up in their new location on 2321 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. Focus stands for Feeding Our Communities with United Services and combines three nonprofit groups: SWEPS, Southwood Emerging Pantry Shelf, TNT, the Neighborhood Table, and RFB, the Rapids Family Backpacks. They are a united endeavor working to address food insecurity in Southwood County. Girl Scouts of the Northwestern Great Lakes region will soon kick off their cookie selling season. Sales begin on Tuesday, January 18th. These young entrepreneurs will work on their e-commerce skills this year with an online-only cookie option, Raspberry Rally. Scouts will also sell the usual cookie lineup. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Highs level off around 36 this afternoon under cloudy skies, northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. 28 tonight, overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 34. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Friday with daytime highs approaching 27. 31 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
I'm going to let that one kind of ring out a little bit when that gets started, but I think it's an excellent song for this next portion of the conversation here on the show, Will, because you shared with me, kind of in preparation for saying, hey, what do you want to talk about today? We've got a plethora of different news stories we can wade through. Where do we want to go? And you shared with me something you've been seeing shared around on social media and saying, kind of joking about it, that this is what conservative individuals online, some Republican elected officials. We're crapping
our own Robin Voss.
Robin Voss shared it. Oh, that you know it's in the mainstream of those elected Republican officials then, because Robin Voss, he's gotten no problems, you know, limiting who can comment on his social media posts, but then also going and liking and favoriting and that kind of nature on social media of these posts that are pretty whiny. I think Robin Voss's social media presence is, if I had to sum it up in one word, it would be whiny. For the strongest elected official in the Republican Party here in Wisconsin, very whiny online social media presence. And the instance that we're going to use is a tweet sent out by former Governor Nikki Haley. With a poll result that's sharing the percentage of each generation proud to live in the USA. They're framing this as the biggest problem facing the nation right now, Will.
This is the biggest threat we face. National self-loathing is sweeping across America, worse than any pandemic by far, because, you know, the pandemic hasn't killed millions of Americans or anything. And sadly, we see it at every level of the Democrat Party, all the way to the White House. Even on our worst days, we are blessed to live in America. Nikki Haley.
And she shares out a screenshot of a poll result from Morning Consult this month, January 2023. And the question is, percentage of each generation proud to live in the USA? Baby boomers, 73%. Generation X, 54%. Millennials, 36%. And Gen Z, 16%. So a staggering decline across those generational divides.
I love Gen Z. They're based. They are excellent. Gen Z just doesn't care anymore. They're like, we've had enough of this. We're sick of the propaganda. You've been telling us our entire lives that America is the greatest thing since sliced bread. We're perfect. We're infallible. And there's a big difference between being grateful to be an American, recognizing that we do have it better than a lot of places in the world. But we're not proud of the way that our elected officials have kind of twisted this country into something that isn't reflective of the majority of our people. We could be the greatest country in the world, but a nation that, let's face it, America is probably the wealthiest nation in the history of human species.
Yeah.
And
without a doubt,
we don't have health care. We don't have some of the most basic measures of protection that other first world nations have been offering their citizens for decades. We don't have it here because we're run by the almighty dollar. Nothing more, nothing less.
And it's very interesting because I have a feeling this is going to be kind of a recurring theme of 2023. Republicans aren't going to get anything done now that they have control of one of the houses of Congress, the House of Representatives. They're gonna gum up the works. They're gonna slow things down. They're gonna be obstructionists, and there's going to be members of the Republican Party outside of the House of Representatives that are going to find ways to wage the culture war.
It's culture war.
It's how they get engagement. It is how they get people riled up, and they believe to the polls. And this is what we're going to see a lot of in 2023. It's early, but my prediction is we're going to see a lot of things like this, where you've got Republican officials, former governor of what? North Carolina, South Carolina. South Carolina.
As well as, I believe she was the ambassador to the UN.
Yes, during the Trump administration, before she, I think she left before the insurrection. It didn't take an insurrection for her to leave the administration. But acting like this is the greatest problem that we face, that when you get elected to government...
It's manufactured outrage, Luke. Right. Top to bottom, manufactured outrage.
When you are elected official in government and say that government can't solve any of these problems, so therefore we don't have the services that other nations have, and then say that young people aren't grateful, proud...
We're not patriotic.
It is manufactured outrage. It is what it is. Exactly what you pointed out. And to act like this is a problem, rather than like the direct threats of democracy that Republican elected officials are having, the downplaying of the insurrection on January 6, 2021, the lack of accountability that has been there for individuals that attempted to overturn the peaceful transfer of power by circumventing voters and saying, no, in Wisconsin, Joe Biden didn't win the state's 10 electoral votes. Donald Trump did. And we don't really have any basis to do it. We're just doing this in case we have some legal standing coming up that we can, you know, do this jurisprudence and run around and try to get the right court, in their minds, to accept these 10 fraudulent electors rather than the official electors that had voted for Joe Biden because he won the state.
We got to hear Dan Kelly's thoughts on this then, because he doesn't want policy impacting the way you rule judicially, except, of course, if it benefits myself, my party, my friends.
I have a feeling that Dan Kelly would have been in that same group of three that outgoing Justice Pat Rogensack was a part of, saying, oh, no, we'll take up that case. We'll take up that case. We'll flip those votes. But a conservative-leaning member, Brian Hagedorn, Justice Brian Hagedorn of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, said, no, that's not how the law works. And so, yes, even though I do not agree with him on a lot of his judicial philosophy, he was independent in that case and did not allow the overturning without any legal grounds of the state's 10 electoral votes. But somebody that did, that's still advocating and doing a lot of malfeasance here in Wisconsin, Robert Spindell, one of the 10 fraudulent electors, Will. And he's kind of an interesting case study of the 10 fraudulent electors. Yes, one of the 10 did get a job on Ron Johnson, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's reelection campaign last year. So she did all right. But Robert Spindell continues to serve on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, appointed there by State Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, appointed Spindell to this commission. And even though Robert Spindell was one of those 10 fraudulent electors that groups were petitioning the Wisconsin Elections Commission to take a look into, Spindell didn't recuse himself from voting on that six-member board. Three Republican appointees, three Democratic appointees, and Bob Spindell gridlocked that commission from being able to investigate the 10 fraudulent electors, even though he himself was one of those 10 fraudulent electors. And putting even that story aside, that craziness aside, that is Robert Spindell being able to vote on whether or not he himself would be investigated by the commission that he sits on, into the fraudulent activity that he did to try to overturn a free and fair election in 2020.
It reminds me of when police departments are allowed to inspect whether or not something that they did was bad or illegal. And they, every single time it happens, they come back and say, like, nope, we followed the letter of the law. Crazy how it works. All right, let's move on.
Well, this is all me summarizing the craziness that occurred in the 2020 election cycle. Now, Robert Spindell, the zero accountability had for his involvement in that scheme to overturn the peaceful transfer of power, to fraudulently sign documents saying that Donald Trump won the state's 10 electoral votes, even though he did not, and send those to Congress to be attempted to swap out U.S. Senator Ron Johnson being the mule to deliver those 10 fraudulent electors for here in Wisconsin, and also the fraudulent elector slate from Michigan. Still haven't had any accountability for that. Ron Johnson's got reelected to another six-year term, despite the revelations of his involvement in that scheme. But this is all the 2020 lack of accountability that we did not receive leads to today's story of Robert Spindell's comments surfacing on how proud he was of Republican efforts in 2022 to suppress minority voters in the Milwaukee area. And Will, this is pretty staggering. This
quote is grotesque, Luke. I cannot believe that anybody could, like, behind closed doors, yes, a lot of these people have no problem being overtly racist and saying just insane, ridiculous things. But the fact that this statement was released publicly, now he didn't release it publicly. I believe it was an email he sent to
an email got public, and we're reading from a piece now over at Urban Milwaukee, written up by Bruce Murphy. GOP leader thrilled to suppress city votes. Republican ads targeted Black and Hispanic voters to discourage voting. Did they work? Is the subline to Bruce Murphy's piece at Urban Milwaukee. And you alluded to it, but let's share the quote with the people, Will.
In the city of Milwaukee, with the 4th Congressional District Republican Party working very closely with the RPW, RNC, Republican Assembly and Senate campaign committees, statewide campaigns, and RPMC in the Black and Hispanic areas, we can be especially proud of the city of Milwaukee, 80.2% Dem vote, casting 37,000 less votes than cast in the 2018 election, with the major reduction happening in the overwhelming Black and Hispanic areas. This great and important decrease in Democratic votes in the city was due to a well-thought-out, multifaceted plan.
Spindell bragged that.
Ew.
That is disgusting.
That's bullhorn type point. Like, they're no longer saying, it's not a... You know, let's not say the quiet part out loud. Like, they're just coming out and saying it.
No, they're typing up the quiet part, and they're celebrating it and sharing it around in an email after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is who Bob Spindell is. This is who Robert Spindell is. This is the individual that the Republican head of the state Senate appointed to the Wisconsin Elections Commission to oversee the electoral process in Wisconsin. This is who Republicans want as one of their three appointees to that board. It is baffling to me, Will, that the Republican Party tried to say that there was malfeasance in the way that the 2020 election was conducted, saying that, oh, well, the five biggest cities in Wisconsin, because they received Zuckerberg dollar grants.
Zuckerbucks.
Zuckerbucks, yeah. as former... State Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman liked to refer to them as. The incessant belief that there was Democratic collusion with the way that the 2020 election was conducted, and then the same guy that will not recuse himself to be looked into for the malfeasance that he did for the 2020 election to be a part of a fraudulent elector scheme to overturn Wisconsin's votes is now bragging about the coordinated effort that the Republican Party of Wisconsin, the RNC, the Republican National Committee, the campaign committees for the state assembly and state senate targeted Milwaukee to disenfranchise voters, to clamp down on the voting process in minority communities. It is disgusting, and it is hypocrisy. And it needs
projection.
To be talked
it's
about.
It's projection.
It is absolutely
They turn around
projection.
And talk about vote harvesting while they're actively suppressing the vote. Rather than earning the vote of people, they'd rather cancel them out.
They ran ads. Not trying to get them to say, hey, the Republican Party has these good ideas. You should go vote for Republicans. They ran ads saying, don't vote, essentially. It boils down to, what's the point? What's the point in voting? And... it is disgusting, and it absolutely needs to be talked about more. I want to thank Matt Rothschild for sending me this story, because it is disgusting.
Boy, aren't you proud to live in the United States, Luke? I wonder why young people are loving it here with these kind of stories coming public.
It's weird, Will, why anybody would think this isn't the greatest country. Why they wouldn't be proud in a poll for millennials and Gen Z. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents, joined by William Walter on this Wednesday afternoon. We got one more segment coming up in the day. If you want to share a tangent, 844.
Let's face it, life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's your mind, Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
We may be thousands of miles apart, but we can still connect. And when we do, we make things better. At Child Fund, we connect children all around the world with what they need to grow up healthy, educated, and safe. Together, we co-create connections that help millions of children who live in poverty worldwide, and their families, and their communities, and you. Join us. Together, we can make the world a better place. Two small worlds at a time. Visit childfund.org to learn more.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Tangents. Joined this Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. You can join us on the airwaves as well. Call or text 844-967-2789. I'm Luke Mathers. And if you want to learn more about what Civic Media is up to, check out our website and make sure to set a reminder. If you're a small business here in Wisconsin, want to find out about the $1 million advertising giveaway that's going down on Thursday, January 26th. Set yourself a reminder. civicmedia.us/million. That's civicmedia.us, the website, /million. You'll be able to find out more. There are some rules and regulations that apply, so make sure you check out the details. But giving away $1 million of radio advertising to kick off 2023. Well, back to the conversation about some Republican malfeasance going on here in the state of Wisconsin. If you think Bob Spindell is an outlier, I hate to break it to you. He's not.
He's not an outlier.
He is not an outlier.
It's systemic. The problems are systemic, you're telling me?
Bob Spindell is very on brand for Republicans. He says one thing and then does the other. It's very frustrating. They live one way and they do not practice what they preach, I guess is the simplest way I can put it. And we also saw this indicative with Fred Prehn finally resigning from the Natural Resources Board at the end of last year. Kind of did it right before the holiday news dump, so he kind of eked out. Oh, yeah, I'm going to finally step down from this post after sitting on a seat that's term vacated 20 months before his resignation.
It's the Francis Wilhoit quote, Luke. Every time. Conservatism consists of exactly one proposition, to wit. There must be in-groups whom the law protects but does not bind, alongside out-groups whom the law binds but does not protect.
Yeah, that is an excellent way to bring it up. But we've also got, you touched on an aspect that I think is going to be really important this segment, is projection. Last segment, you mentioned it was projection for Bob Spindell, and that may be right. But where we're also seeing some projection is in Wisconsin Dells, the end of last year. And it's kind of an interesting story, and Brian and I wanted to get to it earlier in the week, but we were covering other tangents up until now. So I can't wait to discuss it with you here on the airwaves. And it's a piece written up over at the Wisconsin Examiner by Baylor Spears. The headline, Conservative UW-Madison Center Holds Symposium for School Board Members. And essentially, it's a very well-written up piece. It's a little lengthy. It's not necessarily the quickest read, but it's a very important read, Will, because the University of Wisconsin's Center for the Study of Liberal Democracy, kind of got a lot of nice words in there, right? Is being
touched on all of them.
The interim director for that center is Ryan Owens. And if the name Ryan Owens sounds familiar to you, it's because he's a UW professor that, for a brief moment in time, ran for attorney general in the Republican primary this last cycle. He had some controversy around things that he said negatively about Donald Trump and some podcasts, and then those podcasts were disappeared, and then they got reposted and kind of quietly just dropped out of the race. Eric Toney became the Republican nominee and lost to incumbent Josh Call back in November. But if the name Ryan Owens sounds familiar to you, that's why. And Owens is overseeing this center here at UW-Madison, known for being a more progressive area. And this entire center decided to host, in concert with the Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism, or better known as FAIR, apparently, they held a symposium at the Wisconsin Dells, Will, for conservative-minded school board members, giving the talking point. It hosted as just a parental freedom and small government approach to these buzzwords that conservatives use to try to identify themselves to other conservatives. And they said that they were there for anybody. Anybody could come and talk at the symposium. But we find out that most of the speakers and individuals that participated and given lectures and talks at this symposium were from conservative organizations like the Charles Koch Foundation, the Lynn and Harry Bradley Foundation, better known as the Bradley Foundation, just in short, that back these super conservative causes. And so they had this school board symposium and didn't really invite anybody else. They wanted to have the various strands of conservative political thought and libertarian thought on school campuses. And
hey now, Luke, if you happened to coincidentally be at Great Wolf Lodge at the time, you could have walked in. It's not our responsibility to go and reach out to other people. Like, they could have showed up and waltzed in, and we would have had no issue.
But they talk about like a fair debate, and then they didn't invite any other perspective to discuss these issues. It was just right wing all the way, and yeah, we're for fair and open debate. You criticize us, we're gonna get upset. Interesting point here from Heather Dubois Borain. I may be butchering her last name, and I apologize, Heather. Director of the Wisconsin Public Education Network said she was frustrated to see a UW-Madison center sponsoring an event with such a clear ideological lean, while the Center for the Study of Liberal Democracy may be seen as a small outpost of conservative thought in the left-leaning academy, quote, in order for academic events to have any kind of credibility, they need to have balance and demonstrate legitimate authority on the topic at hand. There's no attempt at neutrality or expertise in the event at all. Bourdain said the agenda reads like political theater. So trying to strike that independent lean and didn't invite any independent thinkers, just the far right backed money groups. And it's pretty interesting that they got to insulate themselves in their bubble. Will
Baylor posts out as points out as well in the article that press was not permitted inside the sessions, including discussions about the First Amendment and transparency, and that our friend Ryan Owens was also quite unenthusiastic about his Wisconsin Examiner about the Wisconsin Examiner reporters interviewing attendees in the hallway outside.
Interesting. So, not too thrilled. Didn't have the press in the event. Not too thrilled the press was outside the events. Wonder what they're talking about behind those closed doors, Will. What's so bad that you can't have it debated in public discourse? What's going on?
What happened to the marketplace of ideas, Luke? I thought that's what all of this was predicated on.
Free speech, just hidden from consequences. That's the kind of free speech that they want. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers and William Walter on this fine Wednesday afternoon. Will, really appreciate you joining me to discuss these tangents and the excellent headlines before us. Dueling Tangents will be back tomorrow, 2 p.m. We're going to be joined by Alan Robinson, owner of the Herbal Aspects, giving us a little update about the potential for legal medicinal marijuana coming up in Wisconsin. So you're going to want to tune in for that conversation tomorrow in the 2 o'clock hour. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. We'll talk to y'all tomorrow.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Ironman.
But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services
WFHR,
Administration.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.